All right. I have never... I am seated in heavenly places. Amen. So that's where I'm coming from, in heavenly places. But it's an in and out thing sometimes. Maybe some of you live there and you're always there. But sometimes our own flesh, our own emotions, our own things bring us out of that. And it's an in and out. It's an in and out. And today I am going to share on healing. And I have never felt so much opposition on anything I've ever shared before, ever. It's like, even as Bill was sharing, you know, for Brooke and that, it's like, there was part of me, it's like, okay, do I really know how God works? Do I really know how healing goes? I felt all these questions, and as I was doing the teaching, I felt all these questions. I was like, oh, I don't know the answers, but I do know the one that knows the answers. And I do know where I need to go to get those answers. And that's where I live. That's where my spirit is. That's where my heart is. That's where my being is. And so I go into that place, and that's where I pray from, and that's where I'm at. And so in this teaching, I'm going to talk about a few things about when I am not in that place, but I am when I'm here in this earth, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when the flesh rises up, those things that I think about that don't need to be there, and the heavenly places I need to be in healing. So I just, I want to do this. This is an example of this. My youngest daughter, yesterday we were at a martial art tournament, and I'm going to be a proud father and say that she won her age group. And, here it comes. We're going to be in and out of different things in the spirit today. And I never thought I would see that happen. Yeah. I never thought I would see that happen because of things that man told me were probably going to happen. And they didn't happen. Actually, a lot of it has not happened. It is amazing. It did not happen. And that's not what the Lord told me. That's not what the heart, that's not what my mind, that's not why all of this in the spirit was saying. But those things that man said kind of came in and was like, no, that's not right. This is going to be your life. This is what's going to happen. And that's not what happened. Praise God. Praise God. And so we're having this great day, and you know, she does, well, she wins in our age group. I'll be a proud dad again. And last night, it was like this. And this is something we have dealt with for 6 years now. And I don't know if it's the cold weather or like this, she started struggling her breathing. Like that. And all week I was praying for healing. And normally that would have really upset me. And I would have been like, oh, I'm sharing about healing. And now we're going through this. And what is this going to look like? And all these question marks. And I was like, no. No, we're not going down that road again. We're not going down that road of doubt. We're not going down that road of worry, already thinking what this is going to look like 2 days from now or that. We're not going to go into this. We're going to say that this isn't escalating, because I'm going to do that prophecy of derailing, what Bill was sharing about derailing and speaking prophetically. No, this is not what's going to happen. I would love to say that it changed right away. It didn't. It's still in a process. But as I was walking with her last night, and I was like, I was getting angry and I was getting upset, and the Lord was like, Yahweh. Yahweh. It's the breath of God. Yahweh. And when you watch somebody struggling to breathe and breathing being restricted, I was just holding her. I was going, Yahweh. As a father, I was just going, Yahweh. 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 If we had to do it all night, we would have to do it all night. Yahweh. Yahweh. And as I was doing this, Father God came in, and Father God was like, that's what's happening to you right now. I'm holding you. I'm speaking Jesus. I'm speaking Yahweh into your life for healing. Yahweh. So I thought that was a prophetic word in itself. So we're going to do that right now. You know, it's not a physical breathing restriction necessarily, If you felt that heaviness on your chest where you haven't wanted to, felt like you weren't taking deep breaths, you weren't breathing. You know, sometimes anxiety does that to you, sometimes mental health, sometimes things do that where there's a heaviness where you forget to breathe. And when I was walking with her and I was praying to God, and he was going, Yahweh, Yahweh. I was like, I've forgotten to breathe. I've been breathing to function, but I haven't been breathing. And how often we breathe, and we don't even realize we're doing it, but we're breathing to exist. I want to do more than exist. Yahweh. So as I was doing that, the breath went a little deeper. The Holy Spirit came a little bit more. The kingdom of God looked a little clearer. What was happening in the physical wasn't registering as much, but what was happening in the spirit was. So can we just do that for a minute? We're just going to say Yahweh. But not Yahweh like Yahweh. Yahweh like the breath. Yahweh. 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 Listen, do you hear that? Breath of God. Father God, we acknowledge your breath that created us. We acknowledge your breath that takes off the restrictions of this world, that changes our belief system, that allows us to breathe in heavenly places. So we had this meeting Thursday, and I felt like my breath was restricted after the meeting, and I felt this heaviness on my chest, and the Lord kept on saying, you know, you are seated in those heavenly places, you are seated in those heavenly places. And I had this feeling once in my life before, and it was going out to the Rockies, and it was altitude sickness where you just feel like everything's tough to do, where everything is heavy, or there's this restriction that's happening. And so I was asking the Lord, I'm like, what is this? Am I getting sick? What is this? And that, and he's like, no, I'm giving you new breath. I'm giving your breath so you can function in heavenly places, so you can function in the kingdom of God. So you're not going to have that in and out, because once you start to live there, you're going to breathe the kingdom. You're going to speak the kingdom. You're going to see the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. So today we're going to talk about healing. And I feel like ever since I became a Christian, I've been praying for healing. For either someone I know, someone in my family, someone in this community, for myself, for that. I began to learn that it's quite of a process. And I love the spontaneous, unbelievable, amazing healing that happens. And I'm going to be real transparent and real honest with you about how I think about some of those things. I have one other story before we get into the Word. And a lot of you know this story. I'm going to repeat it, but there's another part of it that happened this last week. So my other daughter, I've shared this several times. She had to have her whole kidneys redone, her bladder redone, the tubes that connect that redone. She had 3 surgeries her first year of life to have all these things that were out of place to be put straight, to be put place. She was in and out of the hospital, I think accumulated 3 months out of her first year of life. And during one of the tests, you know, you go in and they do a lot of tests. During one of the tests, they're doing an ultrasound of that section of the body. And it went up into the liver, and it saw something on the liver. And I remember the urologist who we like, he came in and he's like, I just saw something on the scan that I'm concerned about, that I'm questioning about. He's like, you need to see someone in another department and that. And we're like, okay, well, we'll make an appointment. And he's like, no, you need to see them today. And so we were like, okay, and what does this mean? What does this mean? So we go, they do, and this was an ultrasound, they do a second ultrasound, and they're like, yeah, there's definitely something there. There is for sure something that's there. And so we're like, okay, we don't know what, but we're going to do another test, another type of scan, because ultrasounds aren't that clear. So we're going to do a full MRI of it and see what's going on. So we go back and does an MRI, and they're like, yeah, but we don't know what this is. We can go in there and see what it is when we do the surgery in 8 months, or we can do a CAT scan and get some more information. And so I'm like, okay, let's just do another scan. So we go in, we do another scan. They invite us to this room. It's at IU. It's the just not our doctor, but the whole panel board of people was there that was looking at it. I felt like I was going to throw up, and we're sitting there, and our doctor who we really liked, he looked at us, and he goes, we can't explain this. We don't know what happened. We can't explain this. And I'm like, what? I'm still thinking fear. Like, I'm not thinking, oh, yeah, they can't explain this. They're like, oh, we can't explain this. I'm like, you can't explain what? They're like, when we did the next scan, it was gone. It's not there. And we're sitting there, and we're looking at the doctors, and they all kind of look off in the distance. They're not making eye contact because they can't explain it. The knowledge of man couldn't explain it, so they didn't want to look at you in the eyes. And so the head doctor that we were talking to, he's like, do you believe in miracles? In front of his colleagues, he's like, this is a miracle. He's like, we can't explain this. And then a couple of the other doctors chimed in and had explanations, but I knew it was a miracle. So I'll give you my little lapse of faith. You think I would be fully excited that it was a miracle, right? So let's move ahead 6-7 years. And last year we met our deductible, and our new doctor that we were seeing, the pediatrician, she was looking through our records and that, and she's like, let's just revisit that and let's check that. And I struggled. I was like, no. And Jesus, I'm like, no, this is healed, this is that. But there was part of me that was an alarm that went off, was like, well, if there's something going on, I want to know now before later, like, what's the harm? It was such just turmoil in me. Do I, don't I? And so I went with, you know, the knowledge of man in that, and I was like, yeah, let's do it again. And so they did it again, and there was nothing there. Amen. But what shocked me was my lapse of faith, or my worry, or my fear that came on me the first time over here, and the testimony, miraculous miracle of God that happened and was confirmed through medical records and everything else, jumped right back on me 6 years later. And I've done a lot of growing in that, but it jumped on, and it's like, no, that is not seated in heavenly places. But thank you for the confirmation. Thank you for the testimony again. And so last night when I'm walking with my daughter and she can't breathe and I was doing that, I was like, no, I'm going to heavenly places. I'm going to the kingdom of God. That's where I live. That's where I belong, and that's where I live. I'm not going to question, like, why did this miracle happen, and why has this illness or sickness with my other daughter gone on for 6 years? I don't worry about all that. I'm not concerned about that anymore because I live in the kingdom of God, and she is healed, and it's the breath of God. So we're going to be in 2 Kings today. Second Kings 5. I don't normally go to the Old Testament too often because I have a whole other way of thinking. I have Jesus. I have access to kingdom through the blood of Jesus. So a lot of these stories are great to hear a nature, a part of God, but sometimes I have trouble relating. So before we get to Kings chapter 5, I felt like the Lord drew attention to this story above it. It's called Death in the Pot. And I was drawn to it because I have never seen it before. And I thought I've read most of the Bible. And with a title like that, you're kind of like, hey, what's that about? So, Death in the Pot. Elijah returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine. You know, Bill a couple weeks ago mentioned how we live in a famine of the knowledge, a famine of the world in this land. In that region, while the company of prophets, okay, think about that, the company of prophets, that is a unification, that's us together, that's what we've been doing. We are a company of prophets in this house, was meeting with him. The prophet Elijah, he said to his servants, put on a large pot and cook some stew for these prophets. One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and picked as many of its gourds and his garments could hold. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew. Though no one knew what they were, the stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, man of God, there is death in this pot. And they could not eat it. So it was the company of prophets. It was the prophetic word. That is how much we need each other. Because that is the derailing, the third part of prophecy that Bill was sharing, that we derail the plans of the enemy. We derail the plans of enemy in a company of the prophets. So Elijah said, get some flour. He put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people to eat. And there was nothing else that harmed them in the pot. So Elijah, the company of prophets, was speaking to him through the prophetic, added the flour, and no harm came. So I am so excited that the company of prophets is being released here. We're in good company. This is good company in this house. We have the power through the prophetic nature of Jesus. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy to derail the plans of the enemy, to derail the things of this world. Bring the flour, because it's not going to touch us. Jesus, we bring the flour today, and whatever is stewing out there in the world, we bring the flour and say, it's not going to touch us. We move in the authority of Jesus through the power of prophecy and say, it's not going to touch us. We are seated in heavenly places. I breathe kingdom air. So with healing, and maybe some of you are like this, and this is so great that you are. I am not. But often when you talk to someone, especially in the charismatic circles about healing, and you try to talk to them about a disease or sickness, and they're like, "That I don't receive that in Jesus' name. That's not me. I don't have it, even though they may have it. That's not me. I don't claim that. I don't have that. I'm not doing that. I don't need glasses." Whatever the case may be, and there's like part of you, it's like, "Well, yeah, you have been diagnosed with this, or yeah, I think to drive a car you should wear your glasses." Do you know what I'm saying? And so then you're like, what do they mean by this? Well, they are seated in heavenly places, and they are believing God for that, but that's not the practicality of the situation at that moment. And I've always struggled with that. How do you speak into your earthly knowledge, into that is your kingdom knowledge? Those doubts, those things you wonder, those things, because that's not how I'm thinking, that's not what I'm believing, but how do I balance that with earthly knowledge? So, when we're in the heavenly places, the Lord is giving us the tools, the things to say of, no, that's what I'm speaking into. I'm not living in some world that doesn't exist. I know what the world is saying about this, however it may look, but I am given earthly knowledge to speak into that. So 2 Kings, this is Naaman is healed of leprosy. We're going to pick up down at 5:7, but I'm going to recap here. So Naaman was the commander of army of Aram. He was this great man, valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. And there was a girl, she was taken from Israel in the household, and he she told him, you need to see the prophet of Israel because he has healing. So Naaman had to go to his master, his person that he was under authority. And the king said, by all means, go and see them. And a letter was written from the king saying that I release you. You can go to this of Israel and for the healing. So we'll pick up actually at 7. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me? So as I read that, that is the knowledge of man. You know? Doctors think they know all the answers. They think they know all the healing. But you can get to a point where they don't know anymore. And they can even get upset about it. Like, I don't know. I can't fix that. That's just what you're going to have to do. That's just what you're going to have to go through. They get angry. But that's not what the prophet says. When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him with this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me. See, that's the voice of the prophet. The ruler, the king, the person of government. Let's use another example. Say you bombed another country, and then they come to bomb you, and maybe you're a hot-headed, robe-tearing kind of leader, and your immediate instinct was, no, I'm going to hit them back. But the prophet of the house says, no, let's just wait. Let's see what happens. Let's give it a day or two. The Lord's saying, wait. So you go up past your nature. You wait a day or two, and everything changes because the prophet of the Lord spoke it. So we have kings, we have rulers, we have authorities, but I want to hear what the prophet of the Lord says. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet of Israel. Lord, we acknowledge the prophets of this country. We acknowledge the prophetic gifting, the community of prophets in this house. So Naaman went to his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. So the Lord did something with me in that. We're going to do it here in a moment. That wasn't so much about his leprosy being healed as much as when he was being dipped, his flesh was being changed. And the Lord was like, as you go through the process of healing, as you go through these things, your flesh is being changed, your spiritual leprosy is being removed, and there is a fresh, God-centered person being born. But Naaman went angry and said, I thought that you would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord God. Just wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy. Oh, wow. Okay. How many times have we seen that in our lives? Somebody has an affliction, somebody has something, and they go to the Lord for healing, they go to the prophet, they go, Lord of healing, and then it's like, oh, this is going to be a process? This just isn't going to happen. And then they get angry. Well, if you're really God, then I shouldn't have to go through all this for a decade or however many years. Then it should just be done. I believe there's something that we learn in the process. The process isn't about the process of taking God that long, but it's about us coming into that place of what is happening to me, what is happening to my leprosy flesh and ways of thinking that's falling off so I can come into the fullness of God. So next time that you're in a process, there's a couple processes I am. I'm 7 years into one process. But you know what? I'm seeing something change in my leprosy. I see something change in my flesh. Something in the aspect of God that I fully want to see is changing, and I'm being restored in the process. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, If the prophet had told you to do something this great, would you have done it? How much more then would he tell you and wash and be cleansed? Again, other people, the unity, the company, the council, the people you're hanging around is like, get over that attitude, get over your bitterness, get over your anger with God, and hey, why don't you do what the prophet said? Why don't you give it a try? See, we need friends like that. And if you're a friend of that like that to me, I might not always receive it. I might get a little crappy about it. Because we think we know all the answers. So when someone else starts speaking to your life and it's going against your flesh, there can be a roadblock there. Yeah. Then Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now, I know that there is no God in all the world except of Israel. Because he went back, he was healed. So please accept a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And then even though Naaman urged him, he refused. Wow. Isn't that the integrity of a true prophet? This is the Lord. This isn't me. This isn't my ministry. This isn't my anointing. You don't need to send me money. I don't need your money. If you want to bless me, great. I don't need it because I do this for the heart of the Lord Jesus. The power of God that is in me is being released. That is the heart of the prophet. So I love spontaneous healing. I've had several in my life. I love what happened to my oldest daughter. I love that. I don't necessarily like the process that happens sometimes. I don't. I get angry. I do. I'm like, why are you not doing this, God? Like, come on, you can heal people. So I've been learning to filter that anger into speaking the prophetic nature of God and speaking from heavenly places. And rather than allow that bitterness to take root, to have that fullness of, even though it doesn't look like this, this is what it looks like. Because I see something different. So as I was thinking about Naaman and the seven dips that he took in the Jordan, it doesn't say what he was thinking. It doesn't say what was going on. But the Lord showed me a parallel of my flesh. As he was being healed of his flesh, those things that come in for all of us, some of you maybe, some of you not, but we all have our things, that what happens between the dips, what happens between the anointing, what happens between the promises of God that are coming into my life, what does my mind do? Or the flesh. He had a flesh disease. I have a flesh disease. So it might not be physical, but it's things in my flesh that come up. So we're going on a little dunk. We're going to take seven of them. And so when I thought about the idea of dunking, we won't be doing this, but when I thought about the idea of dunking, I heard the word skinny dip. Do y'all know what that is? Okay. If you're from southern Indiana, it's naked. If you're from northern Indiana, it's naked. But it's the idea of taking a dip somewhere in complete humility with everything you have off. We're not doing that. But in the spirit, we have these things we put on. Right? So I was like, what are these things? Like, I want to take these dips. What are these things that I want off of me so I can humble myself, so I can stand unashamed in all of my flesh, nakedness, and be able to, in full humility, go into the presence of God and be healed. It's not my jacket of pride. It's not my pants of knowledge. Whatever all these things I have put on that I have bought in the principle of man, it's not those. So dunk one. So I'm going under. I'm coming up. Well, it's still there. My leprosy is still there. It must be because I smoked my whole life. And so this is my cross to bear, as I have this disease because I chose to smoke my whole life, because that's what the old person did. So this is the thorn that's in my side. So where I'm going with this is, we don't want to claim a sickness. We say that a lot. We don't want to claim a sickness. And we all know that we don't want to claim things that aren't the Lord. But he showed me that sometimes we claim a sickness because we think, because I did this, then this is the answer. We hear that in the believer all the time. I know charismatic, spirit-filled believers that use that little story like I just showed. Well, I smoked my whole life, so now I have lung cancer, and this is just the way it is. I mean, the Lord can heal me, but I have to pay the price of that. No. I was a promiscuous person, and so now I have to pay the price of AIDS. And they begin to let the healing go away because they feel like they opened the door, and this is what they have to do because they opened the door. So the revelation in not claiming your sickness is you don't have to worry about what happened in the past. You are a new man. Can you put up the scriptures? The first slide. So I do this to myself. Not necessarily those things. I didn't smoke. I shared the story once before, but it's a good one. I'll do it again. So I had this very toxic ant-killing, bug-killing cleanser underneath my sink, my kitchen sink. So the kids are at school, and I'm cleaning up underneath the sink, and for some reason I didn't put the lid on very well. And so the toxic, and we're trying to have a clean house. I mean, we're talking like organic food, the whole thing. And so this is like very toxic stuff. And so it pours out over my house. And I am just wanting to clean it, and then I have this fear of, I shouldn't clean it, it's toxic. But yet my kids are coming home. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to rip the floors out. I'm going to have to get new flooring. I'm in a bad place in my mind. And the Lord is like, you know, you can handle steaks and drink poison. It's like, you have identified this. You have derailed prophecy number 3. You have derailed the issue. And so I go ahead and clean it up, and this thing came on me of, oh, all these toxins, and I breathe these toxins. I was already looking 10 years down the road of what could happen to me. It was not a good place. And so after I clean the house, clean the floor, I decided to clean the house and clean the floor. And I was like, I prophesy healing in this house in Jesus' name. I prophesy that nothing of the world, nothing that's been changed by the nature of man into a toxicity can impact this house in Jesus' name. And I went and picked up the kids, and that's done. But I'm not claiming the sickness of the old man. I'm not claiming because something happened that the sickness is going to come on. Proverbs 23:7. Ooh, this was a big one because Bill shared this like 2 weeks ago. What he said was good, and we can't think, you know, we just can't think these things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when Bill said that, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that does this because I've heard that teaching before. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking it. It's going to happen. I'm thinking, I can't think it. Do you know what I mean? I can't think it's going to happen. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because I'm worried about this. I'm thinking it. So then I'm prophesying that's going to happen. I can't think of it. There's this war. I'm thinking this is going to happen. No, it's not. I can't think it. And because I'm thinking I'm having it. Does anyone struggle with that in their mind? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Okay, good. So when I read this going into it, the mind is changed. The thoughts is changed. But it's not through the mind. It's through the heart. And so I might think something in my mind, but it's not my heart, because my heart is the nature of God. So no, that's not what God has in store for me, no. So rather than trying to get my thought to align with my heart, I'm coming into my heart and I say, mine align. That's not the heart of the Father. That's the not the heart of God. Is that like freedom in that? I just felt like it freed me up, man. Because I still have those thoughts, but I can hear the heart of my Father, and it's like, no, that is not your destiny. No, that is not what I've called you to. That is not your life. That is not. This is my heartbeat of Father God. So it's overriding my mind now. I'm sure I'll have moments because my flesh, my leprosy, is being healed. But I'm thinking more with my heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. I am a new creation. I'm not that smoker. I'm not a person who did all these things in the world. I am a new creation. Doesn't mean I'm just a new creation to salvation. I am a new creation. That's what the heart is saying. And the mind might say, oh, but that's what your future holds. That the heart is like, no, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Such a simple scripture. Such an amazing message. Lord, we proclaim that we are new creations today in Jesus. No fear of those past mistakes. No fear of those. I am a new creation. Okay. So that was the first dunk. The dunks do get a little faster as we go on, if you're wondering. Because I probably would be. Second dunk. Doubt of faith. So you go under, looking at myself, it's not happening. I still see it. I still see the sores. This prophet said that this, if I do this, shouldn't it be getting better by now? Is it going to take off 7? I mean, shouldn't it like be a process? Should I be seeing a change? Because there is nothing happening here. Because that's what your mind's going to say. There's nothing happening. I don't see it. Is this really happening? Everyone said it would get better, but it's not. In fact, is that another place? It's getting worse. Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's the heart again. My mind was doubting. My heart was not. And do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. Because I was questioning. Why is it coming? Why is it coming back? No, it's not. My heart's saying no. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. I fear the Lord so much I want to turn away from the evil. I want to turn away from my fleshful thinking. I want to run to him. It will be healing to your flesh. That's back to the leprosy. The leprosy of the mind, healing your flesh and bring refreshment to your bones. So after dunk 2, and I was doubting it all, that's why I should have been saying. Because that's what my heart was saying. Dunk 3. I call this one jumping ship. So you've already been through the process. You're about halfway through. You come out of the water. You're like, this is still not happening. I am done. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. I need to go to the Minute Clinic. I need to see what the doctor has to say. I need to go rub this oil on myself. I need to go see Rainbow in the van down by the river and her homeopathic concoction. Whatever your mind goes and all these things that are going on, it's like, well, I gave God a shot, but, you know, maybe Rainbow and her Birkenstocks has a better solution. I mean, how many of you have your house full of vitamins? And I do. I'm not saying it's bad. But I have vitamins and supplements and oils and who knows what. Because I go to God, but I also go to that. But today I'm going to God. Because my heart says go to God. And it's just not individually jumping ship. I've seen it in the believer's life. Because they put everything on something going the way they thought. Be like, oh, you all believe in healing. You believe, well, that's not what happened. I'm cutting out the supernatural of God. I'm cutting out the miracle of God. I'm cutting out those things because it didn't happen for me that way or it didn't happen for someone that I love. So I'm just jumping the whole charismatic ship. And I'm going down here because I have a really good program for my kid and good coffee and I'm just going to sit there and have a break from them for an hour. It happens. I'm not putting judgment there. I'm just saying sometimes when things don't work out the way that we think, we're like, we're going to take an easier road. It's not an easier road. Because we have power in us. That's the road I want to be on. Dunk 4. This is not changing. Dunking 7 times in the River Jordan, like I don't remember that in reading the books or the law. I don't remember that in the Bible. I don't. Why am I even doing this? Like I have been misbelieving. The prophet said to do that. I'm going to quit. I'm going to walk away. Everything in the power of the Holy Spirit going into the kingdom of God aligns with the truth of the Holy Spirit and the Bible, the written word. But there is a relevant God, a relevant Holy Spirit that exists in my life that's aligning with the word of God that's telling me things. Maybe I need to go jump in the River Jordan 7 times. I don't know, but I'm going to go into the supernatural revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit and count that as my healing. Dunk 6. And this normally happens when we're so close to dunk 7, right? It has not changed. It is the same. I'm exhausted. I've been praying about this for 6 years. I've been praying about this forever. I'm exhausted. I can't even pray anymore. I know my place is in heaven, but I can't even pray about this anymore. I'm done. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I can't even physically dunk another time. I can't go into this water. It's cold. This is not God. This is taking too long. Whatever happens, happens. I'm not believing for my healing. I'm not believing for my leprosy to be healed anymore. I am done. I quit. I am tired. I am walking out the door and I am not looking back. It's what I have to deal with in life. Well, there's some aspects of life that I've dealt with that myself, but I always walk back in the door because that's the flesh that's up. But I'm here to tell you today, if you're in that place or if you want to give up on something, what's step number 7? Wow. I didn't think it was going to happen. I've been praying about this so long. I went through all this, that even in my own mind I kind of doubted, but my heart knew it was true, and I am healed today. I am walking among you, and I am healed. I don't have to worry about all that stole from me for the past 10 years, all that worry, all that fear, all that things that took life away from me, just not the leprosy or the disease, but all the thoughts and the worry of what's this going to look like? Is this going to be the death of me? Is this going to be painful? How long before it gets worse? Is it getting worse? No, I am healed. So that's why we press in. That's why we press in for our healing. That's why we press in for healing of our loved ones and our family. That's the word of healing today, is we press in. And I don't want to be all hypish with this, but I know this is what the word is, the word of the Lord. And the Lord is like, your seventh dip is here. It is here corporately. It is here. You have learned. Your flesh has gone away. You have learned. You have come into this place of heavenly realm. It is here. So I think that's individually. I think that's corporately. I think it's for my family. So I'm going to pray that way. You want to stand? That's how we're going to pray. I'm going to start to pray. I think if I didn't have like two other people that just, you know, the Holy Spirit's on you, you know that you want to pray this through with me, you're welcome to come up. Lord, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you for the process. We thank you that you are teaching us to walk in heavenly places. You're teaching us to stay seated there. As we come in the in and out, and we come back to the mind, to the fleshful thinking, Lord, we know what is in our hearts and what beats forth in Jesus' name. We have overcome by our testimony. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and we walked into the fullness of overcoming today. Do you feel that? You felt heavy and now you feel lighter. Discouragement is leaving in Jesus' name.